This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. It's starting to look a whole lot like Christmas up in this house, that's for sure.
Yes, and I am so happy.
You were a little late this year.
Yes, I was a little late. I usually start first week of November.
Which is a little early.
Yeah, but then I had to wait and a couple things have to like...
I think we were on time. And I say late, people are like, what? What's going on? No, you were up and had everything before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. See, if Thanksgiving, like, I cannot have Thanksgiving without a Christmas tree. That's just how it is. It just does not work for me.
Well, it looks great. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's great to enjoy it. Great to be with everybody on ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio LA, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, ESPN South Jersey, Real Sports Atlanta, and 107.5 Alive. Our guest this week is former NFL quarterback and maybe future NFL quarterback because he's only 31 and he says he still wants to play. He's now ESPN college football analyst, Robert Griffin III and RG3. It's a great conversation, so stay tuned for that. But he said something recently, and I asked him about it because it hit home. And he wrote on social media, "Don't ask God to guide your steps if you aren't willing to move your feet." And I love this, and I will let RG3 explain what he meant by it, and you'll hear that coming up. But for me, when I read those words and I just thought about it a little bit, I thought about this, that sometimes my good thoughts and my good words and my good intentions don't turn into good actions. Like, I'll think about doing something. I think about reaching out to someone. I want to help. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to get involved here. I want to get involved there. And then I just don't get it done. And I get busy with whether it's life, work, whatever it may be. And I think sometimes I'll let fear or laziness discourage me from following through on that good thought, that good word, or that good intention. And it doesn't become a good action. And I hear this and I read this and I'm like, And it reminds me of James 1:22, which says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." I think a lot of times, a lot of people might feel the same way I do, is that our heart's in the right place, but we don't turn that into action. And for whatever reason, we stop or we don't follow through on it. Sometimes it's even as silly as, well, how do I make this happen? Like something comes in my mind and maybe I want to get it done. A lot of times it's like, oh, I think it'd be cool if we give this away or we give that away or we do that. And then you go, what would it look like? How do we? And we complicate things. You're just right. Do it. Just do it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We usually don't really like God's steps. We only like our steps. So when we ask him to guide our steps, we're like, that's great, but I want to do it my way. I want to do it the way I think should be done. And our way doesn't stretch us. Our ways are very comfortable, but God's ways really stretch us. And when you stretch, you're uncomfortable. So you retreat. I know that's for me. I retreat. I'm going like, now I'm going to go back to my steps because your steps, Lord, they're a little bit too much for me right now. I'm not interested. So I go back to my steps. And then God says, well, these are not my steps. So we're back to square one now. You're not really stretching. You're not growing. You're just comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you're not really led by God because, well, he likes things to be uncomfortable. Because the only way to grow in Christ is to be stretched, is to get out of your comfort zone, and it's to just do things that you've never done before and do them his way.
That's true.
And that is not the way we want to do things because we're very comfortable people. We just want to do it our way. We want to do it the way we know how to do it so we don't learn anything new. And that's just a cycle. And a lot of people fall into that trap. I fall in that trap a lot because I find myself in this complacent thing where I'm like, but I'm not really going where I want to go. And he goes, because you're unwilling to take the steps that I ask you to take. It's just how it is. It's how it is. If you're uncomfortable, then you're growing. If you're comfortable, then you're not growing. It's just how it is.
That's wise. And
thanks, dear.
I read what RG3 said and hit home. Now I'm listening to you and it's hitting home mm-hmm. even harder because today I had all these thoughts of things. Okay, I want to reach out here. I want to do this. I want to do that. And just this week we had Giving Tuesday, and Giving Tuesday is such a cool thing. So many different ministries, nonprofits, whatever they may be, foundations for people out there. And it's a day that's dedicated to giving. And it's not too late if you want to donate to Faith on the Field Show and help us grow our ministry. We had a tremendous year. This was an awesome year in 2021. Yes. Thanks to International Justice Mission. Thanks to the Masters University. Yes. Thanks to Heritage's Dairy Stores. We were able to grow from a couple markets into, we're now in 8 markets and we're on 8 different radio stations. And yeah. I just listed them all at the top of the show. So we're in 8 different states, but we don't want to stay here. We want to continue to grow, and you can always help us do that. And there's ways. You can just go on faithonafieldshow.com. There's a donate button in there. And that's what we're, our Giving Tuesdays are, is a giving every day of the year, if you want to help us. But I have these thoughts. I have these ideas. And some of them are uncomfortable. Some of them involve maybe relationships that were conversations that I may have started but never followed through on, or relationships that I've not continued to. It's been like a one-way conversation. Somebody will reach out and I'll
Yes, those are God's guiding your steps, because mm-hmm. we always wonder how it's going to look like. There, it's going to look like people come into your path and helping you, or you're helping them. Yeah. It has to involve people. I mean,
everything just revolves around God's people.
Sometimes, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately, it involves people.
Yeah.
So, because we can't do things alone, and guess what? He, as in Jesus, cannot do things alone on this earth either. He actually needs our help. And not in a help as in he needs my help, but he needs me to be his hand and feet.
Yeah.
You know? And he needs you to be his hand and feet, because we are the vessel that he uses every day.
Yep.
And he can't just, you know, like, he can't just be like, oh yeah, here, poof, there you go, you got it. No, he wants us to grow.
You gotta work towards it.
Yeah, and he wants us to talk to people, and he wants us to connect to people, and he wants us to take steps, and he wants us to do things that are uncomfortable, but mm-hmm. they will continue. That whole thing, it requires people, it requires connection, it requires relationships.
Yeah. Like,
that's a main component.
And that's just one area where I was just talking about. As you said that, I had that thought. Yes. But overall, in general, what I was saying earlier is when we have good thoughts and good words and good intentions, like mm-hmm. we want to do something and we don't know how to go about it, or we stop short of it. And then maybe sometimes we take comfort in, oh, well, I planned to. I wanted to help. I thought about it. Hey. But we don't follow through on it, but we didn't do it. So what good is that? So it's like telling someone, hey, yeah, I'll be there, and I'm coming to your birthday party, or I'm coming to your event, or I'm coming to it, and you get all dressed up, and then you don't show up. But, oh, I thought about it, but you weren't there, right? You didn't follow through on it. And I think it's just a reminder for all of us to follow through. We all have good thoughts. We all have good intentions. We all have good words. We all want to be helpful. We all want to brighten someone else's day. We all want to be somebody who, or I hope most of us want to be someone who's a positive difference maker. Let's follow through on those. Let's not be too fearful. Sometimes we're afraid of what people's reaction might be.
Right. And, you know, I read this one thing once, and I know there's like a book about it and whatnot, but like, if you have something that comes to your mind that you know for sure, like 100% sure that you're supposed to do it, mm-hmm. your body and your brain is designed to just contain, like, just act in every single way to just protect you. So you would want to do something, mm-hmm. but then your thoughts are going to attack it so bad, because it's designed to protect you, that you're going to just think of other ways to not do it. But your job is to take that very first thought and act on it immediately, because that is what you're supposed to do. And if you wait 5 minutes or more, your body and your brain is going to do whatever it takes to attack that good thought and go, no, 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 you're too shy for this. No, 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 no. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is not safe, buddy. This is not safe, because this is just a defense mechanism that we have, and it is designed to help us just kind of retreat. But everything that is in us is not really, like, it's not really going to help us. God is, God in the Bible says, renew your mind every single day. Renew your mind, renew your mind, because we have a carnal mind. So we need to just renew it every day and just act right away.
Well said. I like that. Very, very cool. Well, up next, you're going to hear from Robert Griffin III. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on most of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Robert Griffin III, played 9 seasons in the NFL with Washington, Cleveland, and Baltimore. He was the AP's Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2012. That season, late in the year, he suffered some knee injuries. He tore his ACL in the playoffs. He already had a torn LCL, and he never got back to his Pro Bowl form. RG3's currently an ESPN college football analyst, but he's only 31, and he could return to the NFL at any time. We talk about that and much more in a fascinating conversation. Here's RG3.
Robert, it was a busy weekend in football. Let's start with college football. You got a lot of attention for suggesting that Tim Tebow should be the next head coach at Florida. Did you think that just stating that would go so far? And do you really believe that? What do you think he would bring to the program?
Yeah, I did not think that stating Tim Tebow should be the next coach at Florida for the Gators would get that much attention or go that far. But I think what people have to realize is in today's age with the transfer portal and just how different it is, these kids are being coached and recruited. If you want to make a splash, you have to look in different areas. So it might not be that Tim Tebow is the answer for the Gators and he's going to come in and turn the program around. But what he will do is he'll bring excitement to the program. The recruits will want to come play for him. And right now they're struggling to compete in recruiting against Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart. And those guys are not slowing down, right? Jimbo's turning A&M around, getting them to win a bunch of games every year. We all know about Nick Saban. And Kirby Smart has probably the most dominant football team in all of college football right now. So that's the thought process behind going after a guy like Tim Tebow and saying, all right, we're going to surround you with a great staff. You know, we need you to be the motivator and the leader and go get these guys to want to be a part of the Florida Gator franchise and the traditions again. And that, to me, is worth it. You know, there's other guys out there that I mentioned, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, Ike Hilliard, who's been a receiver coach in the NFL for 10 years. These guys know what it means, right, to be a Florida Gator. Maybe not Marcus Freeman, but you know what I'm saying. Ike Hilliard and Tim Tebow, they know what that means. Yeah. And I think that's important to understand your own team's traditions and move forward that way. When you go get a guy, like I believe right now Billy Napier is the guy that everyone thinks is going to get that job. He's a great coach, right? Turned around Louisiana. They dropped the Lafayette, and they've been winning a lot. But you're doing the same thing that you did with Jim McElwain and Will Muschamp and Dan Mullen. So how many times are you going to just keep doing the same exact thing? Every time one of those guys came in, they said, oh, you know, they're going to build it from the ground up and they're going to recruit. And then they fire them 3 years later after they've had great seasons. Maybe not so much with Muschamp, but McElwain and Mullen both had extreme success at Florida. So what are you looking for? So to me, I just think they have to look in a different direction.
What did you think of Lincoln Riley's decision over the weekend to go to USC?
Yeah, I got to say, man, I was a little shocked. But we also did an Oklahoma game this year when they played Kansas. If you guys remember that, you know, Kansas came out and really punched him in the mouth early and often and almost won that game. But that week, myself, Mark Jones, Quint Kesenick, we were talking to, you know, Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch, who seems like he stole Christmas now, right? And it looks like he's going to USC with Lincoln Riley. And the feeling that we got from them was like they were an 0-6 football team. You know, they seemed to be a little frustrated with what had happened and what was going on at Oklahoma. And maybe they just needed a reboot. You know, maybe they wanted to go. He wants to go to USC and start all over and maybe fix some of the issues that were starting to creep up while he was at Oklahoma. But I do think it's a brilliant move for him personally. A lot of people have kind of compared him to Kevin Durant. You know, I don't really see that because this USC program is nowhere near what the Golden State Warriors were when Kevin Durant made that switch. But for Lincoln Riley, to me, him going over there gives him a really good chance to cement who he is as a coach. At Oklahoma, he was in Bob Stoops' shadow, kind of took his recruits, made him good, and then, you know, has won over the past 3 or 4 years a lot. But at USC, he's going to get a chance to build a program back to greatness, and I think that'll cement his legacy even more, not to mention that he has most of his recruits from California anyway. So he's already got that pipeline. He already understands that area. I think it's a fascinating hire for USC and a brilliant move for him. Go to the Pac-12 and dominate. Don't go to the SEC and be a little brother to anybody.
Wow. Robert, as a guy who's watched a lot of college football this year, played in the NFL as recently as last season, can still play in the NFL, I'm sure. And one of the biggest questions has been about this quarterback class coming out. When you look at the guys coming out of college, who do you think, whose game translates best at the next level in the NFL?
Yeah, it's almost impossible to predict who that person is going to be. But what I do know is that everyone says this every year, right? Every couple of years they say, oh, there's no guys. There's nobody that really is pushing the needle. And these guys are going to get drafted in the second, third, and fourth rounds. And that never happens. And it never happens because the NFL is a quarterback needy, quarterback greedy league. So these guys are all going to get drafted higher than you expect. And then it's just a matter of who decides to come out. You know, I really like Kenny Pickett. He's a little bit of a gunslinger. He's got a weird throwing motion, but I like his moxie, you know, and I think that matters and it transitions to the NFL. You have to have something to you that really stands you apart from the rest of the group. So there's going to be guys from smaller schools or from schools that didn't win a lot of games like Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech that maybe no one's talking about, but they're going to wow everybody in the interview process and at the combine. And when they turn on the tape, they're going to see them make certain throws. But right now, for me, it would probably have to be Kenny Pickett. He's also up for the Heisman in that regard. But there's some younger underclassmen quarterbacks that aren't quite ready to come out, like a Bryce Young, who I think are going to be really good in the future in the NFL.
Speaking of the Heisman, where would you cast your vote if you had one?
Right now, you know, it's a weird year. C.J. Stroud, in my opinion, was right up there budgeting to just take it over and run away with it. But then they got blown out. You know, they got blown out by Michigan. And I don't think anyone really expected that. They probably expected it to be a much closer game. Yeah. So then you got Bryce Young, and they're sitting there struggling against Auburn, who you know had the luxury of calling you know a week before when they lost to South Carolina, and they won in four overtimes. Right? Is that really a Heisman moment? Nah, probably not a Heisman moment. But guess what? They won. He threw for two touchdowns, 300 yards, and they won the game. And at this point, it's that lasting taste you leave in the voters' mouth as you go towards the Heisman ceremony. So right now, Bryce Young, in my opinion, will probably pull out more of those votes over a C.J. Stroud, a Matt Corral, and a Kenneth Walker, you know, over there at Michigan State.
There's some NFL teams that are going to have to make decisions about some of their current quarterbacks. And then given what we just talked about with the college class and the guys coming out, if you're the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa, now there had been reports, rumors, speculation they were trying to go after Deshaun Watson. My man's thrown for over 80% completion the last 2 weeks. What do you think of the Dolphins' future with Tua going forward? Should they be looking in another direction, or could he be that guy who just needs time?
Yeah, I think Tua just needs time. I'm always a proponent of guys getting the time when they're drafted high, right? You invest all of this capital into them. Why would you give them 1 year, 2 years to try to prove themselves? You have to buy into that. And I'm not sure the Dolphins are bought in to Tua, but I do love the fact that Tua is showing his fortitude and his perseverance through all of this. Because like you said, he's thrown for completed 8% of his passes. He's playing efficient football and they're winning games. So I feel good for Tua. I just don't know if the Dolphins want him because they were linked to Deshaun Watson, as you talked about, and making those trades. But if you draft a guy as high as you drafted Tua, you got to believe in him. But if the organization is split on him, the best thing for him could be to get out.
Another guy who I think is in that boat is Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Now, he wasn't drafted as high as Tua. He was a second-round pick. What I've seen out of Jalen is that he's a guy you can win with when the other pieces around him are working. But I don't know yet if he's a guy you can win because of. And by that, I mean he's not going to throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. What do you think of Jalen's game, and does he need to be surrounded by more talent? They might have three first-round picks next year. So they could either build around him or go replace him.
Yeah, I think for Jalen, I'm a believer in this game. You know, just last week before he had, you know, he did not have a good week this week, right? Him or Cam Newton, they just didn't have a great week. But before that, he was balling out. He was not only running the ball, but throwing the ball very efficiently, winning games, putting them in contention, right? So for me, with Jalen Hurts, it's just about, hey, does your coach believe in you? And at that point, if you take those three first-round picks and you build around him, well, you know, the coach has to believe that this is the guy, right? What did they do? They brought in Joe Flacco and then said it might be an open competition. Then they traded Joe Flacco, right, to the Jets and traded for Gardner Minshew. What are they doing? That's the question. I don't know what Philly is doing. Does the coach believe in Jalen Hurts? You know, he keeps saying, hey, you know, his arrow is constantly pointing up, but – you got to support him in more ways than just in the media. And we're going to see how they really feel about him by the end of the year. And when you talk about that draft, when they get there, because they could move on, they could make it another open competition. But I feel like Jalen Hurts has always been in this situation throughout his whole football career, right? At Alabama, he had Tua. Then he goes to Oklahoma, wins that job and balls out. And when he does get on the field, he kind of proves himself right. So I wouldn't doubt Jalen Hurts too much, but it's just going to be a matter of, do the Eagles believe in him? And hopefully he can play the rest of the year and prove that he is the guy.
A guy you're very familiar with, you played with in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. A couple weeks ago, Robert, I said he's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. He just doesn't get mentioned in the elite category. And then he had that game against Miami. The zero blitz kind of gave him some trouble. Then he missed the game. He comes back, throws four picks, but finds a way to win. Some incredible plays, throws to Mark Andrews. What do you see in Lamar Jackson's ability? We know he's been an MVP in the league. What do you see as someone who played with him?
Yeah, you know, Lamar, he's a tough explain is what I tell everybody. Earlier in the year, I went on Get Up, and they were asking me, you know, somebody had made like some ridiculous statement that the league was going to figure him out, right? And I told him, I said, you can't figure out Lamar Jackson because even he doesn't know what he's going to do next, All right. And that's really who he is. I was there for 3 years, and what I saw in practice and then what I saw in the games was just a night and day difference. You know, in games, he was making throws he never made in practice. He was making reads he never made in practice. And it was, to me, it was astonishing. Right. And it's not to say that he wasn't, you know, a good practice player. He just, whenever he got to the game, there was no real explanation to what he was doing, but he was finding ways to be successful, whether it was running the ball, throwing the ball, finding Mark Andrews. I mean, the touchdown throw he threw to Mark in the end zone yesterday was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, who's throwing that pass? No one's throwing that pass. And it wasn't even that great of a throw, right? And Mark Andrews still just comes out of nowhere and makes the catch. So I think for Lamar, you know, you saw the four interceptions. I think that was a byproduct of rust. He is a guy, for me, I would never sit him down. Like 2019 and 2020, he sat out a game at the end of the year. Or he sat out the game at the end of year 19. I played against the Steelers. And then we went and we lost in the first round of the playoffs. Or maybe the second round of the playoffs. And it's because his rhythm got thrown off. So he's a rhythm player. And it's not a rhythm like in the middle of the game. He can find his rhythm in the middle of the game. But he's a rhythm guy that you don't want him taking weeks off. So I think the four picks was because he missed the last week's game and he was just getting back into the swing of things. And you've seen that before in his career where he's missed a game and come back and not played that great. But I don't think the four interceptions is something like, oh, my God, he can't throw it. He's not a good quarterback. He is. He had an off game. And that defense, I've been saying this since I got to Baltimore, that defense is one of the best I've ever been around, because when your offense is off, they just keep getting you the ball back, right? How do you throw four interceptions and still win the game, right? They showed the stat last night. It hasn't happened in ever or forever.
Right.
So I think just for the Ravens, they play great complementary football. When the defense is off, the offense steps up. When the offense is off, the defense steps up. And Lamar kind of gives you that confidence.
Robert, you're obviously great at what you're doing now as an analyst, talking about the NFL, doing it, college football games. Is there an itch to play on Sundays when you see the guys out there? Because we know you still can go out there.
Rob, I appreciate the compliment on the analyst work. But, yes, there is still an itch to play. I don't shy away from that. I schedule my week as if I'm with the team. So I know, you know, on Mondays, it's kind of like an off day. You go and you get some lifted in to kind of get the wear and tear off of your body from the game. I'm not playing any games, so I don't have really that much wear and tear. Tuesday is the day where you dive into the film. So I make sure I dive into the film on Tuesday to keep up with the trends and what's going on in the NFL. And then Wednesday, you go out and practice. So I throw Wednesday, Thursday. Friday's a lighter day, and I'm prepared to go. So the way I look at it, and I've told everybody this that's willing to listen, I have a job right now, right? And my job right now is at ESPN is to be the best analyst I can possibly be, calling college football games and eventually NFL games and doing NFL analyst work right now. But when that call comes and a team needs me, I'll be ready to go. Am I getting calls? Yes, I'm getting calls. Have they pulled the trigger? No, they haven't. So for me, it's just about making sure you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. But in the meantime, I'm having fun doing this with ESPN and my crew, you know, Mark Jones, Quint Kessenick, Kim Belton, Anthony DeMarco, our director. It's been a lot of fun, and they're like my new family, you know. So I think that it's a win-win for me no matter what happens.
Well, with the COVID the way it is, you never know. And as the college football season winds down and we get into the playoffs, Robert, hey, make sure you're answering that phone, all right? Keep
Hey, listen, I'll make sure I'm ready to go. I did the Baylor line a couple weeks back at Baylor University. I never got to do it as a player, but the fans run on the field right before the game, the full length of the field. And I told Mark Jones, my play-by-play guy, said, hey, I'm going to show those NFL teams I can still run. And I went out there and ran in a full suit and won the race. And, I had a blast doing that. But I was just trying to put some good stuff on tape for them.
I love that. Well, listen, tell me about your involvement with Portal, because maybe there's a way you could be on a team and then the hologram can show you somewhere calling a game, too, at the same time. I mean, we got the technology right now.
Oh, yes, without a doubt, we got the technology. You know, and this Portal deal, it's a really cool thing because, you know, you bring that idea up, and we honestly hadn't even thought about that. But say I was to go somewhere and I'm playing, and they're like, hey, we still want you to call these games on Saturdays. Well, you know, we're pretty free on Saturday in the NFL. Right. Maybe a walkthrough here and there. So I could call the game from the hotel, the room of the team where we're going to play on Sunday, and call the game that way. But, you know, seriously, Portal is, to me, it's the new wave, right? It's the wave of the future. But it's not the wave of the future from 10, 15 years ago where you're saying, oh, man, this is going to take about 20 years to get implemented. And, you know, the augmented reality, virtual reality headsets that come and they're so bulky. That's not what this is. This is an opportunity not only to affect the market of advertising, marketing, right, to beam people different places for concerts or for meetings. I think it's really cool. And it's not just really cool, but it's practical. People want to, you know, at this point, we thought we were going to have flying cars. You know? We thought we were going to have all these different technological advances. And yet here we are. We don't have those things, but we have this portal device that is essentially time travel. And people have told me this since I turned pro. There's nothing more valuable than your time. So instead of having to fly all the way across the world to go to China or to go to Switzerland or to go to Europe, wherever, you can just beam yourself over there, right? Instead of having to spend all this money to do these different advertising things, you can literally invest in this portal device and do all your advertising in one spot and make it come to life. So I think it's incredible. My background and why I wanted to get involved with Portal was I was an augmented virtual reality guy in college. So I graduated in 2.5 years, went to grad school, and then majored in corporate communications in grad school. With a focus on augmented and virtual reality. Training for sports. I got into it with the headsets and a couple companies. And I just realized that, you know, that's just not going to, it's not the wave right now. But there's endless possibilities with this portal device that I'm excited for.
Well, as a professional athlete, I'm sure people are always coming to you with different ideas. Some may be crazy. Some may be far-fetched. With that background that you have, in virtual reality, how much easier was it for you to recognize the value in being involved with Portal?
Yeah, I recognized the value immediately. They brought it to me. I said, okay, let me go to California. All right, I'm going to fly out there. I want to see this thing. You know, I want to see that it's real, see what it can do. And they beamed me in and beamed me all across the world. And I said, all right, you got me. Okay. I'm a very hands-on type of guy. I work very closely with Portal. I have been in several meetings and want to keep it that way, because to me, this isn't just about a big money play. This is about changing the future. This is about changing and having a massive impact on the world. And a lot of it goes from just over the past, I would say, 10 years, I've had some experiences with the augmented virtual reality community. And I've understand some of the drawbacks, right? Because when I was in college in 2011, they thought, oh, we're just 5 years away. And I don't know if you know about Magic Leap or any of these other companies that have gone down this path of the augmented virtual reality. You know, I consulted for Magic Leap and I saw their product, and their product is incredible, but no one would buy it, you know, and that was the drawback. It's kind of like 3D movies, right? They're really cool,
yeah,
but they hurt your eyes a little bit, right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they've kind of come and gone, if you've noticed. They're like, ooh, 3D, for 5 years, it's really cool. Then it just goes away. Why does it go away? Because for whatever reason, the consumer is not consuming the product. Well, with Portal, it's not that way. It doesn't hurt your eyes. It saves your time. It gives you an opportunity to do really cool things. We had the P. Diddy thing where he beamed himself to the birthday party. Obviously, you know, the background where it all started when they were doing the holograms of Tupac and concerts in that way. But there's so many different applications for this device, and it's not something that you have to wear. It's not something that's really hard to implement. It's something that can take what's already there. You see the little displays in the mall that have the advertising on them, and you can bring those advertisements to life. And to me, that's a big play as we continue to move down this row of trying to continue to augment our own reality and make it more like what we see in the movies.
Seems incredible, man. Very cool. One last thing for you, RG3. I got to ask you this because I've always really admired about you. You're a man of faith, and as a fellow believer, I love that you put it out there unashamed to really state it. And you said this recently, and I think it's awesome. Don't ask God to guide your steps if you aren't willing to move your feet. That's strong. It's powerful. What was going through your mind? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think for me, for you know, first and foremost, I am a believer, like you said, but I'm a guy that I know I'm not perfect, right? I haven't been perfect my entire life. I've made mistakes, but I think God understands that. And that's about a relationship with God to be able to confess your sins and move forward. So for me, when I talk about my faith or I try to live in a way that exudes that faith, I'm not trying to pressure anybody. You know, I'm not trying to say, hey, you have to do it this way. I'm just trying to be a beacon in the light by the way that I live, by the way that I talk and go about my life that way. So when I talk about, you know, you got to move your feet, right? You can't say, hey, God, I want to do this. And then you're not willing to go work for that. I think sometimes people get it confused and they think, well, if I just pray enough, right? If I just hold enough or have enough faith, it'll work. But as you know, faith without works is nothing. You have to work. You have to put the work in and make sure that you're doing your part so that when God does come around and does come through for you, because he will, you're ready for that opportunity. And I think that was the message that I was trying to give off, because I've been in that place before where I feel like I'm doing everything the right way. You know, like we're going to talk about playing. I feel like, man, I'm training. I'm doing all this stuff. I do the studying. I go out there and it's like, man, why wasn't I successful on that day? And for whatever reason, it just wasn't meant for me. I look back at last year when I had the, when we played the game, the COVID game in the middle of the week, right? The game that got pushed really, really far back. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is an opportunity for me. Lamar goes down with COVID. He tests positive. I have an opportunity to start. Boom, starting left tackle's out. Boom, two starting running backs are out. Starting tight end's out. Whole defensive line's out. We got 23 guys on the COVID list. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, you know what? At the end of the day, whatever. You got to play the hand that you're dealt. And we go out there and we've got guys that have never run the offense. They don't know the offense. They've been with us for 2 days. We haven't practiced in 9 days. And I didn't make any excuses. Yeah, guess what? I threw a pick. Okay, cool. Not cool. Hated that. But I threw an interception. Then I tore my hamstring off the bone. Wow. What is really going on? You know, but for me, it's like to say that I didn't put the work in is not true. To say that I wasn't prepared is not true. It just didn't happen on that day. So what do you do? What? You go rehab. You get back. You continue to work hard because eventually you're going to have that breakthrough. And for me right now, that breakthrough has actually come in the media. Does it mean that that breakthrough is not going to come through on the field? I have no idea. But I'll make sure I continue to work and keep doing that. Because I don't want to have to say, hey, God, this is what I want. But now you give it to me and I'm not ready for it. So I think there's a lot that goes into those quotes. There's a lot of thought process that goes into what I put out into the media world and into the open streams for people to consume. And hopefully maybe we'll have more talks like this and we can explain it.
I love it, man. That's excellent perspective, Robert. I appreciate your time. And I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. And we've been celebrating Christmas for like 2 months now, so it's all good.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Robert Griffin III. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and our entire team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh. And Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.